God bless us, brother. God, he hit on it a while ago. We're so stingy. And, hey, there's people out there that need the blessing. And when they look at you, you're a living testimony of what God has done for you. And let it be known in the name of Jesus. Let it be known. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. It's good to be back with you guys. Seemed like it's been forever. But we've covered a lot of miles. God's done a lot of things. And so we're still hanging in there. Amen. And looking for the Lord to bless this morning and touch you in the name of Jesus. And I think he's going to do it. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Jonah. We're going to go to the book of Jonah. We're going to go to chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 1 in the King James Version. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hadst cast me in the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thine sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Let's pray. Father, thanking you for the opportunity to stand before your children this morning, but asking you now in the name of Jesus to hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that those looking see your Son, that he being high and lifted up, he would draw all men unto himself. Confirm your word today with signs and wonders. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy mountain. I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the subject this morning. I will look again. Amen. Brother Scotty and I were talking about different things standing back there a while ago. And how many of you know that as a rule, the church world is in a turmoil right now? Our world is in a turmoil. The ages are coming together. The dispensations are coming together. And this thing is fixed to be over with in a hurry. Can you say amen? We're seeing the nations change, and we're giving their power to this one and giving them their power to that one. And then the book of Daniel being fulfilled right and left in this hour that we're in. And how many of you know right in the middle of it we're seeing, as I travel, I'm seeing a constant thing about people that and we were talking about it. It seemed to that COVID has taken and dealt quite a blow to the church as a whole, because there's so many churches now that can't get people back in that went to church, serve God, and they're trying to get them back in, and the church world is suffering for it. Now, we understand, we were talking about the issue between the tares and the wheat. How many of you know God has a way of separating that at the end? Amen. The word angel there in that particular scripture doesn't mean angelic wings as we would know them, but it means a messenger of God. And how many of you know the message of the preachers are preaching it now, and we're seeing a lot take place in the kingdom. Now, in the story of Jonah here, first of all, God's got a problem. He's got a problem with Nineveh. Nineveh is taken and serving and going the opposite direction, and God is wanting to bring her back into the fold. He's got an answer. He's got a prophet named Jonah, okay? But then all of a sudden, Jonah's got a problem because he don't like Nineveh's lights. Amen. Can you say amen? And so you've got one that both of them, the men was talking about it a while ago. You've got a situation to where you've got a prophet here that in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh. And then all of a sudden you find that in verse 3, he decides he don't want to go. And so he decides that he's going a opposite direction and flee from God. As you look on down into verse 15, God has chased him down and caught up with him, and God has now turned him over and revealed himself not as a deliverer, but as a corrector, a child corrector. How many of you know God does that sometimes to us? ways that we, when we're expecting deliverance, he corrects us and it gets rough. Amen. In verse 17, the Lord, as I said, comes as a deliverer, a child corrector. Now, first, as I look at this, I'm seeing a lot of folks nowadays that they are in misery with their spiritual life. Amen. They can't make up their mind. I've had four or five tell me this past weekend, week of this situation, I want to get back to God and get back to God. Well, I just ain't the same as it used to be. Well, it's never going to be the same again as you grow up. Can you say amen? We were talking about some of my home life, Brother Scotty and I was, and I could go back down there, but it's not the same again. I've changed. That's changed. And it's never going to be the change. It's never going to be the same again. So the thing we realize is that many are living in spiritual poverty right now, and they're living in spiritual chaos for the simple reason of one thing. They've gotten away from the Word of God. They've moved away and doing their thing with their will. And how many of you know that wonderful creative thing you've got that God gave you and put in you called opinion can really cause you a world of problems? Can you say amen? Always expressing your opinion about something that don't necessarily make it so. I had somebody come by me one time. They said, Brother Dave, what does this scripture say? I said, I don't know. I said, God never explained it to me. And they said, well, you don't have an opinion? I said, Lord, yes. I got a Scofield opinion. I got a Dake opinion. I've got a Jimmy Swaggart opinion. I've got a Rondé opinion. I said, but I wouldn't guarantee none of them. Can you say amen? And so they go read the book for yourself. Now, as he begins here in verse 17, we find that all Jonah has run from the Lord, and they, of course, you know the story as well as I do. He got on the ship and thought he would get away from God. The way of a transgressor is rough. It's hard. Amen. And yet we're seeing people now, they want to blame their transgression on the devil and everything else. The devil hadn't got anything to do with my life. God has. Amen. Amen. We're led by the Spirit, as Brother Scotty said. We deal with the Spirit. We do the things we do with the Spirit, and the devil can't handle that. And bless your heart, if that happens, then I've flubbed the dub on something, and we've all done that at one time or other in our lives, and learned better. Now, all of a sudden, he gets on the ship, and all of a sudden the wind and the waves begin to create turmoil in the people around him, in his world around him. We're seeing a lot of that take place on the news today, that because of the rebellion of nations and things of nature, a lot of turmoil, wars, rumors of wars, and so on and so forth are taking place in our nation today. And so they come up, and Jonah comes to the condition, they get tired of him. How many of you know that everybody gets tired of a complainer? Can you say amen? You go look at Lot in the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah, just seeing and hearing the things around him, vexed his soul, his spirit. Amen. And so we're living in that day and a time when we've got to have that positive attitude. Yes, God's God, and God's going to be God. So look what happens here. The Jonah comes around, and he decides his own fate. And he says, just throw me overboard, and I'll be out of it, and y'all will be okay, and y'all will be safe. God, they throw him overboard, amen. Isn't it rough when they say something like that, and people believe you and do it? Can you say amen? Man, and so it's rough on the old boy, and now all of a sudden, God comes up on the scene, and he's swallowed by the whale. Now, there's been a lot of paperwork and a lot of people and doubts and things and proven incidents where people were swallowed by whales and live. But let me tell you, when God's got his hand on you, brother, he's going to make your life miserable. Now, can you imagine Jonah? He's out here in the sunshine. He's doing things. He's happy, man. And all of a sudden, he wakes up in the middle of a storm, and the next thing you know, they throw him overboard, and a whale swallows him. All of a sudden, life has gotten slimy. Life has gotten dark. Lord. That life has gotten smelly. Amen. Brother, all of a sudden he looks around and he realizes something. There is no hope for me to get out of this. Today we're serving a church world that's looking for the hope, but there's only one hope. It's not a man that's going to bring it. It's not a government going to bring it. It's the Lord God Almighty that's going to deliver us and set us free. Thank God that you know who you're, whom you have believed, and you're persuaded that he's able to keep that which you've committed to him against that day. Amen. Now all of a sudden, now we find that we look on, you find that the right, he comes to himself. What does that mean? If he's not himself, who is he? Amen. If he had to come to himself, has anybody ever got theirself caught up in stinking thinking? Did you ever come to yourself and say, what in the world am I thinking? Can you say amen? And all of a sudden, as you begin to realize, you had become somebody else. That's not me. I looked around one day and I said, Lord, that's not me. That's not me. I don't know where that come from, but that's not me. Forgive me for the way I'm acting. Forgive me for trying to be somebody else. I am what I am, and you have blessed me and loved me, and I intend to stay what I am except through your changing. Amen. Now, all of a sudden, he says, I can't get out of here. He comes to himself in reality and realizes he cannot get out of there. Luke 15, the prodigal son has gone into the foreign country. He's left the father's joy, the prayer, peace, and the house, and now he's out and he's become somebody that don't know. How many people can you name right now that one of 5 years ago really served God, dedicated to the church, but now because of various reasons they backed away and you can't get them to come to church? You keep telling them and everything else, and they back away. Yes, we keep praying for them. Yes, we keep believing, amen. But you can't make them, amen. When you realize that you're somebody different, that's not me, amen. I'll tell this story. I don't reckon there's a marriage alive that hadn't had its problems at one time or other. And Gloria and I had ours, and I had moved out, amen. And so it was Friday night, and I decided every little boy ought to go to town on Friday night, right? Amen? And so I went to town, and some friends of mine were standing around. We were talking, and all of a sudden, somebody got the idea of let's going up to Gadsden, which is 30 miles away, and get a Coca-Cola. You know how boys do in a time like that. Well, one of them had a brand-new Dodge Charger, and so they elected me to drive. And so I'm up through there, and they're, everything's okay. They're just laughing, having a good time. And all of a sudden, I realize this is not me. This is not the life I want. This is not the life God ordained for me. And I came to myself, went and got my clothes, and moved back in, and we worked it out through Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? Now, as a result of that, how many of you know that brought me into the ministry with a helpmate that was second to none on the face of this earth, then and lifting up and saying in the ministry, amen. You got to come to yourself. If you're in a dilemma, if you're in chaos, we can quote the scripture, yes, sir. We will stand on the scripture, yes, sir. But I've got to look that thing in the eye and say, this is not who I am. I am not a warrior. I am not one will take and drag around in chaos. I will not live in adversity. Amen. I've got a neighbor up there that just loves to take and have create havoc among the neighbors around. I said, I'm not doing that. That's not me. Hallelujah. I didn't come in off the field to get in a fight with a neighbor over a line development or something like that. Not me, amen. I got better things to do than to sit around and listen to them talk about everybody else in the community and how bad they are in the church. Dear God, come do yourself in this hour we're in. You may be down, but that's not you. You may be depressed, but that's not you. You may be low, but that's not you. God has ordained for you to rise up in the name of Jesus and be what he wants you to be. Get a hold of yourself in the name of Jesus. Amen. Life gets complicated. I'll not deny that. Amen. So many things that were stable a few years ago are not stable in our world today as a result of it. You get started in verse 17. He came to himself. And you get started in the crises of life. Amen. Whether you like it or not, you're in this world. Whether you like it or not, you got to deal with it. Because, amen. I remember last time I went up to Chicago for revivals last year, I left there up here at Decatur, and our gas was about $2.35 a gallon. Boy, I packed every ounce I could get in there on that 600-mile trip I had to drive, and I took off. I got up to Joliet, Chicago, bless your heart, and it was $4.35 a gallon. I wasn't a happy camper because I had a lot of driving to do while I was up there going back and forth to services and church. I was not a crumb. And how many of you know you can't afford that? Hallelujah. And bless your heart, I looked around and I said, nope, I didn't drive 600 miles to worry and get upset about the price of gasoline. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not me. Come to yourself in this hour. What are we going to do in the future? The same thing we've done in the past. Lean on Jesus, and he's going to take care of us. Amen. Look in verses 1 and 2. He says, I will look again. Amen. Again indicates, in verse 4, I will look again. He said, well, where do you begin to look at in this hour? I see a lot are turning to television. They're turning to advice on television. How many of you know that Facebook is full of advice? Hello? They can't handle their own lives. They want to tell you how to run yours, and you foolish enough to ask them. Say praise the Lord, somebody. Now, as a result of this, he says, I will look again. Again indicates a second time. He's been there before. Can you say amen? He's been there before. He knew what the joy of the Lord was. He knew what the power of God was. He's a prophet. Hallelujah. God has used him before. He's seen the miracles. But now all of a sudden he's not become something that's a rebellious child running from God Almighty. And as a result of it, he says, I'm going to start over. I've come to myself. This is not the way I want to live. This is not the way I want to do. I'm turning myself around. Where am I going to start at? I'm going to look again to the place where I started. Amen. I started at the foot of Jesus, repenting, cried out to God, and it's amen. And brother, that's where I'm going to return. The church seemed to, Paul recognized this in Timothy. He said, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. The gospel will change you in the name of Jesus. It will set you free. That blood that saved you then will set you free again if you'll reach out to it. Hallelujah. Not worried about a form. I want the reality of God in my heart and life. Amen. Look at where you started at. Where'd you start at? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. And thank God that we received. Agape love, two-way thing. I couldn't love God before I got saved. But when I got that agape love, is not only God's love for you, but it's your love for God. Can you say amen? And that love has got kept you alive. It'll keep you going when everything else around you is caving in. Hallelujah. Because you love somebody. Amen. Romans 10 talks about that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord with a contrite heart, a broken spirit, they shall be delivered. But I've got so many problems. He said, look in verse 2, I cried by reason of my affliction. When it gets hard enough, when it gets low enough, God's going to reach and touch you, and you're going to return and cry out to him like never before. We got a church world that's trembling right now, getting ready to move forward towards God, and everybody's proclaiming a great revival. I see a move of God coming among the church like we've never had before in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever happened to stopping into this thing? Look at where you stopped at. Hello? Look at where you stopped at. Galatians 5 has said, you were running so well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Hey, Jonah, where'd you stop at, son? You was running real well there. And then you just quit right in the middle of it. Now, we could talk about snares of Ephesians. We could talk about the snares of the enemy that's listed there. And we could talk about all those things. But the truth of the matter is, I quit because I wanted to. It's not the devil's fault. It's not my fault. I become somebody that I didn't want to be and wound up being caught in the snare of the enemy. Hello? And as a result of it now, I was running real well. I was just thinking back the other day about the ministry and how many preachers I know that had come off the field. We were talking about the ministry and different preachers, that sort of thing. Right now, there's so many that evangelists that are hunting churches to pastor. Hallelujah. If you're one of them, I can name you about three or four that needs pastoring right now. Hallelujah. God said, as long as they don't leave here. Did he say amen? So what is, you were running. You were doing good. What happened when I got my feelings hurt? Well, who hadn't? Hallelujah. Well, I'm too far to church. Somebody said something about going to Walmart recently. And I was sitting back there wondering, how far, where at Walmart do y'all go to around here? Arab? Okay. Can make it to Walmart at Arab, but when it comes to church, just right around the corner, we can't make it. Praise the Lord, somebody. You become somebody that, are you sure God knows you? Well, yes, sir. Brother Scotty told me that he always loves me and always sees me and has his eye up on me. Well, do you know you? Well, yeah, I'm the one that's running from God. Do you understand what's going to happen? Hallelujah. You're going to wind up in the whale's belly, so get up in the name of Jesus and turn it around. Look at where you stopped. What caused you to stop? Got your feelings hurt? Somebody said something to you? You didn't feel comfortable in the church? Oh, my. Jonah 1-3, God said, obey me, Jonah, run. Isn't it interesting how that the preacher gets up and preaches and it begins to stir us? It will either draw you closer to God or push you further away, depending on how you react to it. Did you say amen? But it's never my fault because I got mad at what the preacher preached. He shouldn't have preached it. Hello? Well, I got news for you. He ain't going to burn in hell just because you want him to. Amen? We got to obey God. So what does he do? When the word comes to you, it's time to endorse it, hold it close, and obey the word of God. When the word of God makes you uncomfortable, it means God's getting ready to do something for you. So get up and turn again towards God and see what God is doing. Amen. Now look what happens here, okay? And you got to realize where you are now, amen? Well, I'm all right. I was talking to somebody this week. It's interesting because this past week I've had a couple of different pastors call me from across the countryside. And there's something happening in the church right now that is a snare of the enemy that's really trying to tear churches all apart. And one thing is that we've got dedicated members in the church world that have been faithful to God for years, but they raise the children that's not so faithful to God. And they change courses, identity of who they are, what they are, and then all of a sudden the members come to the pastor and want the pastor to receive them into the church because God, they love the child. Hello? And right now it's creating and splitting a couple of churches I know of right offhand. And because two lesbians got married and now everybody wants them brought into the church and sanctified. Not so, my friend. Look at where you're at. Where are you now? You used to walk and have a order of holiness in your life. You used to walk and have something worth God in heaven that stood for righteousness. And now you have turned to somebody that we don't know anymore and trying to revert the gospel and bring the church to its knees. Amen. But God is God. Can you say amen? Now, where are you now? Look what Isaiah 53 says. All we like sheep have gone astray. Oh, Lord, hadn't we all made mistakes at times? But what you do about it makes all the difference in the world. Yeah. Now, you can sit around and worry about tomorrow. Or you can get up in the name of Jesus and go forward in the name of the Lord and let God bless you in all your deeds and do. You can become something that the church don't even know in this hour that we're in. How many people that do you know personally that you would have never believed 5-6 years ago that they would turn out like they did? Amen. I'm talking about spiritually in every other way. So what am I saying to you? Be careful in this last hour. Look again to that place where you surrendered. If he can save you from your sins, he can save you from a chaotic mind. He can save you from depression. He can save you with a back pain. Hallelujah. He can save you from it all. Look at the surrender. Well, I'm not as close to God as I used to be. Where was you before? Look at where you are now and where you was before. Do you remember the day when somebody could holler Jesus, you'd shout for 3 hours? You first got that tongue-talking Holy Ghost, people afraid to be around you because all you want to talk about is Jesus. Amen? And so we'll surrender in this hour that we're in. And of course, we began at the feet of Jesus. Can you say amen? At the foot of Jesus. Now, what have I said through all this? Okay. I travel a lot, and there is demonic activity that has been loosed in this last hour that is astronomical. It is so strong that it's pulling people away from God and various beliefs. I was looking at YouTube the other day. How many of you know there? Trying to bring in all the books of the Bible that's not in the Bible and trying to get our attention started on them instead of the gospel. Anybody notice that lately? Book of Enoch, Book of Jasper, and all that sort of stuff. And I was looking and I saw a heading where somebody had posted a 20-minute sermon and they had titled it, History Proves There Was No Jesus. History proves, and we will prove to you that he did none of the miracles he said he did, and we will prove to you that he was not even born. Well, I'm not interested in something like that because I know better. But I happened to look, Brother Scotty, and the thing that blowed me away was it had only been up 2 weeks, and it already had 17,000 hits. 17,000 people read that silly thing, listened to that silly thing. How many people did you witness to this past week? Is it any wonder we're losing ground? Can you say amen? And it just blew me away that 17,000 people in 2 weeks listened to that message. I wish I had 17,000 people listen to my message in 2 weeks. Can you say amen? And I thought, Lord, we have come so far from what holiness is, what the church is, what righteousness is in this hour. So be careful in the coming days ahead. You're in chaotic situations. Look again to the one that saved you and delivered you the first time. Can you say amen? Heads are bowed. Isaac goes, Father.